God is good all the time. Do you know why it was good? Because we had our kids up here sharing God with each of you. That's why God is good. Amen. Now, the only thing missing in this program, there's only one thing that I'll change, Di, and that is to replace me. Because every aspect of this program had kids leading, and there's just this one part where there's an adult standing here leading out in the sermon where we could have easily had another young person come up and share. So I wish that was the case. Amen, Ben? I think so. So next time we have a children's program, I'm happy to just stick to the narrating and have our young people come up, because I think it's a great opportunity to be able to train our kids and get them up here in the front, engaging and being able to share God with our church family. All right, on that note, let's pray, more for my sake. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We're here because we want to continue to learn how to make room for you. And so we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell amongst us, dwell in us, as we continue to just be able to understand more about what it means to make room for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title, continuation of our program today, is titled Making or Make Room for God. Now, notice that I didn't put the word making because it's anticipating that the room is going to be made. Does that make sense? I've made it make because it's like definite. Make room for God. And so what I want to explore is you've got this person. In our lives, we have ourselves. Yes, is that correct? And so what happens is the question gets asked, how do you make room for God? And so we have all of these things. Gosha presented beautifully in our children's story. There are different things that we have that makes us question whether we have room for God. And so some of us may have things that keep us busy, and that's time. It might be school, it might be work, it might be relationships. There are so many things that keep us busy. And then the question that gets asked is there enough room for God? So in a way, God becomes an afterthought after you've made room for everything else. And so in this story, as a continuation of our amazing skit that was presented, what do you think? They did a great job acting? Yes? Did you know they had those acting skills? You need to see them more, yes? I think it's great. I loved it. That should have been our sermon, actually. And so here we end off in Daniel, this book Daniel you find in the Old Testament. It's the story of his three friends. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and who else? Abednego. And so they get thrown into this fiery furnace because they are confronted with a situation that if they do not worship this pretty cool-looking guy, then they're going to be thrown into the what? Into the fiery furnace. Now, what's interesting is that we spent a little bit of time just in the skit looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the title is Make Room because that's what happened in the fiery furnace. But the person I want you to look at is this guy with the scepter. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, a lot of the times we can look to the three Jewish slaves and be able to say, man, they made room for Jesus. They did this, they did that, with God. But Nebuchadnezzar's story is an interesting one. Because when you read that, in Daniel 3, 28, 29, this is what Nebuchadnezzar actually says. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guess what he continues to say? Be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Now, that's a bit confronting because a lot of times we read the first part, praise be to God, and then we're like, yes, they made it out alive. And King Nebuchadnezzar, praise God. Yes, that may be true, but there seems to be a contradictory picture here in this particular verses that are being shared with us today. And so the question can then be asked of our church, do you think King Nebuchadnezzar had made room for God? There's no right or wrong answer. And the reason why there's no right or wrong answer is because King Nebuchadnezzar is confronted with a situation that he himself thought he had control over. He thought that he understood everything about what it was to be king, that he had all the power and that he had all the control, all the authority. And then all of a sudden, the very thing that he had thrown these three slaves into, something miraculous happens. It's not just three, there are now what? There are now four. Logically, it just in King Nebuchadnezzar's mind, it doesn't make sense. How could this fourth person be in the fiery furnace? It doesn't make sense. But yet you come to the end of Daniel chapter 3, all this particular story, and he says, praise be to God. But if they don't worship, cut them up into pieces. That's confronting. Because the reality of the picture that King Nebuchadnezzar had of God was still one that had his idea of what a God was instead of a loving God who was willing to come into the space that didn't make sense for anyone else to be able to be in. Does that make sense? So let me take you and just give you a little bit of an illustration. Who loves going camping? Who loves going camping? Okay, let me ask another. Who loves going glamping? Yes? Okay, that's okay. Up to you. So when you go camping, you kind of, for those who don't have a caravan, a tent. I haven't had the luxuries of being able to camp in a caravan. I just find the tent is, you know, you just buy a bigger tent and add more stuff to it and you create space. And so when you go camping, you set up your tent, and I know when I go to expeditions or you do camping and you arrive at a place at nighttime, you just want to get your tent up, yes? You just want to get things set. And so at nighttime, you arrive, you set up your tent. And so you kind of like just create this room where it's just you. Does that make sense? You got to make sure you're comfortable. You got to make sure you've got all your things in place. And you're going to do the best that you can with whatever light is there, even though you know in the morning everything's still going to look messy. Does that sound right? And so here's the interesting thing is, waking up in the morning is my favorite thing when it comes to camping. And do you know why? Because no matter what condition my tent looks like, or how messy it is, or it might be not necessarily ordered, this is what I look forward to. And why is this important? Because no matter what I try and do to be able to set things up within what it is that I'm comfortable in, when you open the door to the tent or the caravan, there is something that meets you that is greater than what it is that you are in. I just want to look at that picture because it's a really beautiful picture. And so in this story of King Nebuchadnezzar and the three slaves, King Nebuchadnezzar is now shocked because something has confronted him. Something is challenging him. Everything it is that he thought he knew is now challenging him. And so here, what's interesting about this is that this is not the end of King Nebuchadnezzar's journey. You continue through the book of Daniel to Daniel chapter 4, and you find that something happens to King Nebuchadnezzar. Something that is also confronting, but even though in Daniel chapter 3 he's confronted and he says what he says, he has a different response in Daniel chapter 4. And he says this, after the whole situation, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Something's different. Something's different from the end when King Nebuchadnezzar responds in Daniel chapter 3 with the end of Daniel chapter 4. No amount of knowledge, no amount of whatever it is that King Nebuchadnezzar had could have made a change except something dramatic had happened. Not even the fiery furnace in Daniel 3 was enough of an experience to be able to change things for King Nebuchadnezzar. He himself had to go through something dramatic to truly see that everything that he depended on and relied on was now no longer something that he could rely on. How does that relate to us today? There are things that we ourselves have become so dependent on in the context of making room. The room that you and I have created has created things that have made us depend less on God. So therefore, when the question is asked, do you have time for God? The answer is no, because you have accumulated clutter in order to not make enough room for God. Experiences, different situations, life experiences, whatever it may be, have now cluttered this thing called your room, and therefore, in order to make time for God, there is no time for God. Because you yourself are the ultimate authority on what it is that you know is best to be able to solve your own problems. The challenge is the room that we create, just like the tent, requires an opening in order for you to experience something that is beyond your room to be able to see that there is a God who cares about you, who wants to do life with you, not only in your room, but beyond your room. The room is uniquely yours, but there are so many others amongst you that have unique rooms that make sense to them. But in order to be able to break out of our rooms, God has the ability to be able to do that. King Nebuchadnezzar in his room thought that he knew everything. Authority, power, control, thought that he had all of that at his grasp. But all of that was taken away. Making room for God is not about asking God to fit into your room. Making room for God is opening up the front to be able to see that God has made room for you. And when you get out of the tent, when you get out of the caravan, you step out and you see that your tent is amongst everything else that God has made room for you. Whoo! So it's not even about asking whether you've made room for God. Ask yourself how much room God has made for you. And you can see the beauty of what God has, not only in front of you, but you will continue to see for the rest of your life the beauty that extends beyond your room to the magnificence of what he has in front of you, behind you, on the side. From a king who went from this picture to a king who is now able to praise God, something changed. There's a song by Jonathan McReynolds, and some of the lines say this. It's a song called Make Room. I find space for what I treasure, and I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, but Jesus, you're my number one. Why? I will make room. And our last song, Make Room Once Again, has these lines. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I love this. I will make room for you. The bridge goes something like this. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Shake it up, Lord. Shake it up. Things that I have become accustomed to, things that I have become so defaulting in order to rely on those things, shake it up. Break down the walls of all my religion, whatever religion that I have now kept, that has now kept me restricted to this room that I think is going to keep me, shake it up. Church, we got to shake it up. You have young people here who are longing to be able to see the beauty of who Christ is, but some things are getting in the way in order for them to just see Christ. Shake it up. They are longing to just see Jesus. Give them Jesus. Everything else will fall into place. But please give them Jesus. Shake it up. In our families, in the next week that is coming up, not this week, but the following week, week of prayer is happening for our church worldwide. Shake it up. They have a reading for the adults, but there's also a reading for families. Shake it up. Shake it up. Do Jesus. Remember how you met Jesus. Don't give them your adult version of Jesus. Give them an opportunity to experience Jesus, because Jesus is a journey. It's not about arriving at a destination. It's about connecting with the one who will continue to navigate the rest of their life with them. Give them Jesus. Shake it up, church. The Holy Spirit is wanting to do things that are amazing. Give him the opportunity to shake it up, because it is worth it. It is worth it. Don't make room. God's already made room. Therefore, be present with the room that he has made for you. And watch, and watch as God expands your room. Because this is only just a small snippet of how beautiful and loving and caring and gracious and merciful my God and your God is. In Jesus' name, amen.